It's Marketplace Tech for August 31st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, the LAPD is rolling out body cameras for officers. There will be 7,000 of them. You can't really talk about the history of Los Angeles law enforcement without talking about video, from footage of Rodney King's beating to video of car chases. Who's getting paid for supplying all of this new equipment? Taser, the same company that makes stun guns. They got the contract because the company is thinking about the cloud. Here's Steve Dyer at Craig-Hallum Capital.
If you're in the business of body cams and you're competing based on making the cheapest piece of plastic with a lens in it, you probably don't have much of a shot. So, indeed, a lot of Taser's investments over the last probably year or two has been very high-end software talent. Really, most of what they are selling is a software storage and digital evidence management solution.
Dyer says that increased attention on police conduct actually helps Taser's business. The LAPD hopes the new body cameras will help in lots of ways, though legal questions about how long data from cameras gets stored are still being worked out in departments all around the country. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig is known for founding the nonprofit Creative Commons and pushing forward the cause of freeing up intellectual property in the age of the internet. He's also now exploring a run for president. His plan? Crowdfund his campaign on Kickstarter, get elected, pass one piece of legislation, and immediately resign. He's calling this plan a government hack. I asked him to tell me more about why he's doing it.
You know, we've got this deep inequality inside of our representative democracy, right? A representative democracy is supposed to represent people equally. But in a world where 400 families have given half the money that's been contributed in this election cycle so far to candidates into their super PACs, this is a gross inequality in our system producing this corrupted democracy where what our politicians care about is bending over backwards to favor their funders rather than thinking about how they can give the people what the people actually want.
Do you think technology plays a positive, forceful role in the goals that you're talking about? I mean, does it have a positive impact in our political system generally? Does it have a democratizing effect?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes, no. This is it. The nature of the internet is Janus-faced, right? So it is both the greatest opportunity to organize and mobilize people, but it also has an effect that makes it harder to get focus on issues that are particularly hard. So I love the internet, and I think the internet is going to be the platform that makes it possible for us to win. But we should not pretend that everything is great in the world the internet has created, especially in a world where governments and corporations work so hard to surveil everything we do in this platform and limit our freedoms and privacy through the use of that technology.
Do you think you're going to get buy-in from big tech companies and CEOs in Silicon Valley when it comes to your ideas about how to change the political system?
Well, look, my ideas are their ideas. When people in Silicon Valley say they want to just be able to create and innovate and they don't want to have to spend their time lobbying Congress for special favors or to protect themselves against the special favors given to others, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When they say they want a network where basically there's no middleman picking and choosing who gets to play what content or who gets to deploy what applications, that's the same thing as the system I'm arguing for at the level of the government, right? I don't want the middleman, the lobbyist in there, making it so the government can't be responsive to the people. So I think there's certainly buy-in in what we're trying to accomplish. It'll take a lot more work, I think, to convince people this is a strategy. But I'm convinced, as I've heard people talk about this, that once they begin to put two and two together and they watch Republicans talk about effectively the same idea as Democrats do, they'll see this is the year that we have the chance to actually achieve something that would radically change the corruption of this existing republic.
Larry Lessig is a Harvard Law professor and now a presidential candidate. Mr. Lessig, thank you for talking with us.
Great to talk to you.
A A few days ago at the World Athletics Championships in Beijing, Julius Yego became a world champion javelin thrower. He almost broke the world record. Well, we caught up with East Africa Quartz reporter Omar Mohammed on a busy street corner in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He told us that the athlete used technology in his quest for gold.
To quote him, he says, "My coach is me and YouTube videos."
Mohammed says in East Africa, an explosion in cell network infrastructure and growth in smartphone use, spurred by an influx of reasonably priced devices from China, has meant that YouTube watching has gone way up. That led Yego to hone his craft in a place where it wasn't all that trendy.
Everyone knows that Kenya has produced over the years world-class runners who've won, you know, at the highest possible levels, but javelin is not particularly well established. So apparently Julius, who developed an interest in the sport, he went online and looked at past performers from the Olympics, from the World Championships, and looked at ways in which people would throw or would carry themselves. So he was able to sort of then model his own performance that way.
Quartz's Omar Mohammed in the city of Dar es Salaam. We should note that Yego might still be watching YouTube, but he does now have an old-fashioned professional coach. Good to know that there's still nothing better than the real thing. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.